Catherine the Great. She in those days, royalty married royalty. And of course, this Russian Tsar, he married this Catherine the Great. Mm-hmm. And then the Germans, she was a German out of Germany, and she noticed that her people are starving. There's too many of them, they're overpopulated. And they had to, so she had them people, some of her people come out to Russia where she was, you know. And our family was part of that group. Hmm. And granddad's, I believe he said, dad said it was his granddad's dad, was one of the first ones. And they went on a boat. They got on a boat and went the water route. Wow. And they come right up the river, up Volga River. And, of course, these Germans, they heard about this, and they heard, boy, this is a good deal. So they loaded everything they had, what they did have, and our family, Dad's family, had took their livestock with them. Everything loaded on that boat, and there's a record that says so many cows and so many chickens and what all, you know.
Wow.
And they come up the Volga River, and there was, of course, there's a lot of them there. They weren't the first ones, but there was quite a few of them already there, and they settled all up and down the Volga River, where they could get off of the boat, and they. I don't know how they got the land, but anyway, it was doled out to them so much for each male person in the family. Huh. The girls didn't get anything. So if there's a house full of girls, then people like starved to death right quick. And, of course, for those boys, why they had more, but it was enough to keep them. Dad said it was the richest land in the world. He says grass grew up 30 inches high. Huh. And he said that little colony where they was in a little colony they called Bytek. That's the German name for it. And he said that colony had a little place, of course the river would split, leave little islands. Well, that land was real productive out there. So they split that, divided that amongst the ones in that colony. You know, they got to live, they used it for garden space. And Dad said they carried cabbage heads out there so you couldn't hardly get your arms around them.
Then your family was in Russia for a period of time, but then you said that conditions got worse there.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. That was before World War One. See, I don't know how many years before, but conditions got so bad that they just couldn't hardly survive. And they heard about America. See, they started coming to America then. And Dad's family at one time was just, their dad was gone to find work, and while he was gone they run out of food. Hmm. And he said if it hadn't been for his mother's sister, he said they would have starved to death. Hmm. She helped him get enough food to keep alive till the old man got back.
Wow.
Home. So they had quite a time there. And Dad always say, well, I'm getting out of this sorry old Russia. Of course, he spoke German, you know, it was all German. I'm getting out of this sorry. And his mother say, well, son, where are you going to go? He says, I'm going to America. That set it off. And these Cossacks, they'd have horses in this high grass, you know, and they was, they'd hire these kids to go out there and herd these horses, stake them out and watch them. Dad says that's where he learned to smoke. They'd furnish him with tobacco so he could smoke, because it was boring, you know, sit out there. And he said he got him started smoking. And then, of course, his brother, just older than him, had to go into the Army just before World War One. See, they was back there. He had to go into the Army, and he had served his term. When he came back out of the Army, Dad said, well, he wasn't going to go. He was his turn to go. He's 21. See, they was about to draft him. So he had an uncle. They had an uncle that lived here in the States. They got in touch with him, and he sent them a ticket for Dad to come to America then. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's how he got it. And his brother got out of the Army while he assumed his brother's name. And he signed everything. Yes, so he'd get this passport. Then he said, then he had to smuggle himself out to get out, see. And he said he left at night. His uncles hitched a horse to a sleigh and took him to the nearest town, which was the name of the town, I think, is still there. They called it Saratov. I don't know whether that town is still there or not. But it was near a border of Russia. And he never did say what country that bordered. But anyway, he said he left there, and he left at night. And he had made contact with somebody who was helping him get out, you see. And the contact sign was a ruble in his shirt pocket with a tip of it turned down. And he said he got to this town, Saratov, and he said he's walking along. Here come this guy, and had another fellow following him a distance behind him, not right by him, but a distance behind him. This guy walked up to him, grabbed that ruble out of his pocket, says, come go with me, in German. So Dad followed him. And he took him, he says, they both, him and this other fellow both went together, got together, and they got to this border of this stream, water, and he says, in the spring of the year, and the water, the snow was beginning to melt, and that water was cold, he says, man, that was cold, and of course, he had his little old duffel bag that on, he said, they held it up so he wouldn't get in the water, and he said, they waved, and he says, moonlight night, he says, he got across, and then the next day, then they got on a train, and he said the train was just like a box with wheels on the four corners. I'm sure you've seen pictures similar to that.
Wow.
And they got on this train, and he said they drove all day and all night, and he said every once in a while we'd have to go to the bathroom. They just stop and relieve themselves, get back on, men, women, and all, just no dignity at all. Just get in there. He said that he traveled clear across Europe until he got to France, I believe, or Spain. Anyway, it's close to, which is Spain, I guess it is, because that's across Gibraltar. Spain across the Gibraltar. He got on a ship there and went to England, and there his ticket picked him up and brought him to America. And he landed at Ellis Island. Mm-hmm. And he said, they had, the way they did handle the people, there's so many of them, they had ropes. You've probably seen them, and they run them back and forth in there. And he said, there's a guy come along, and he's speaking different languages. Does anyone want to send a telegram? Does anyone want to send a telegram? English and German and Russian, all different languages. And when they got to German, because he didn't know any other language, see, he said, yeah, I want to send one. He sent a telegram to his uncle here in the States, over here at, I think he said it was in Montana or close to the Nebraska line over there. Anyway, he said, and he had $4 in his pocket. That's all he had when he got there. And they just shove you around just like they do cattle, you know, just from place to place. Mm-hmm. And he said when he got out here, his ticket run out while they run him off the train. And he said he didn't ever had seen his uncle, didn't know what he looked like or anything. His uncle hadn't never seen him. But he said, I was walking along, finally, he said, a guy walked up to him, said, are you Lucas? Dad said, yeah, I'm Lucas. So he said, well, you come and go with me. And of course, they knew he was coming, you know. And he said, he went, took him to the house, and he said, come on in. He said, and opened the door, and there was a big old galvanized tub with water in it. And he says, take off your clothes and take a bath. And then he gave him he said it was a little container, had lard in it, grease. He said, grease your head with that. And it was lard and sulfur, see, because all them foreigners that came from there, they they contacted lice off of the ship. Them ships were just loaded with ice, with lice, you know. And then he took Dad's clothes and he says, "What are you going to do with them?" He says, "I'll take care of them." And he looked out the window and the old man went out there and started fire and just burned his clothes. Just throw them in the fire. And Dad says, "Well," he says, he thought he had good clothes. And he gave him a pair of blue overalls and a shirt and underwear, and he dressed. That's the way he started out. And the next day, he said, immediately the next day, he took him out to the railroad yard, and this guy, his uncle was a foreman for a railroad yard, put him to work. And what he did, he cleaned cars. That was his first job, clean those cars. Then they put him off. When he got through with that job, they promoted him, and he got to where earlier cars then had waste boxes, grease oil boxes, and I remember that real well. They just a square box with a lid on them, and they put oil on this waste. If you know what waste is, it's just that cotton fiber stuff, you know.
It would absorb that.
Yeah, and that's what he had to do. He had to go around and oil all those. Did that. Then he went to the farm a while, and worked for some farmers. Then he went in the beet fields.
And that's where you were born.
Yeah. And then in those days, a lot of times, there was no courtship. Somebody's kid knew, father knew somebody else's kid. Well, this uncle of Dad's was married to Mama's aunt. So there's an aunt. She was Mama's aunt and Dad's uncle. And of course they got the mother and dad together, and that's when they married. And a year later then, of course, I was born. And Dad contracted, in those days the beets were, sugar beets were contracted out, like they do. He did that for a year. And that was all he had, enough of that. And of course, Mama's folks lived in Oklahoma. So they moved to Oklahoma and Dad started out there, down there. So all the kids, my brothers and sisters, were born in Oklahoma, and I was born up there.